He's on our side. I tell you, we couldn't be living at a better time or a more exciting time. Even though there's challenges, you know, worldwide, there's challenges in our nation, there's challenges in the church, but Jesus Christ is still alive. And the church of Jesus Christ is going to rise. And we're not going under, we're going over. And that's the truth. That's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. I learned that in the courtroom. But I mean, that's the truth. It is the truth. Thank God it's the truth. Amen. And so don't ever get the idea that we're not going to make it, because we are. Even when the children of Israel were up against the Red Sea and the whole Egyptian army was behind them, and all they had in their hand was a stick, and they had weapons of war behind them, and they cried out, "What are we going to do?" God said to Moses, "Stretch forth thy rod." And he went on ahead, parted the Red Sea, went across on dry ground, not wet ground, not muddy ground, but dry ground.
Come on.
So God not only moved the water, but he dried up the land so the people could walk across there, because you know they would have sunk up in that mud down there or whatever, probably 2 or 3 feet deep, and there wouldn't be no carts that could go through there. So it was supernaturally more than one way. So if you're up against the Red Sea, you're in the right place. Amen. Just cry out to God, because he's with us and he's on our side. Let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your holy written word that's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, we thank you that revelation from heaven has been extended to us in this generation. Lord, we're so appreciative of that. Lord, we're so humbled that you would take time to speak to us, to lead us, to guide us, and direct us. And we thank you that you have not left us alone, but you sent the great, mighty Holy Ghost to indwell each and every one of us, Lord, and to take us into that place in the Spirit that you have for us. And, Father, as we approach your word reverently and humbly this morning, thank you for revelations of your word. Thank you for illustrations of your word and impartations of the Holy Ghost that enable us to walk out what we have heard. And in advance, Father, we'll give you the glory, honor, and praise for all these things. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God is with us. We're going to turn in the Bible somewhere. So I was just assured that you already knew where we was going to turn. All I got to do is turn and find out myself. You know, sometimes, and I mean, you know, don't try this at home, but sometimes I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. That doesn't mean I haven't prayed. It doesn't mean that I haven't sought God. It doesn't mean that I haven't studied the Bible. It doesn't mean that I hadn't edified myself, praying in other tongues, but the Lord just kind of uses me a different way. That doesn't mean that you do what I do. You know what I mean? So sometimes I don't know what I'm going to do or what I'm going to say until sometimes just a minute or two before I say it. And it's just as much a shock to me as it is anybody else. People get to thinking, well, look what that fella knows. I don't have sense enough to get in out of the rain if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost. And that's just the doggone truth about it. And that's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Hallelujah. Thank God for his goodness. And thank God for his mercy that endures forever and ever and ever. All right, 2 Timothy, I believe it is. We're going to look at some scriptures here and see some things. Because the Bible is good. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And we thank God for the Holy Ghost. We thank God for the Spirit of God and how he's leading us and how he's guiding us and how he's directing us in this day, in this hour, and in this season. But here in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. This is the Apostle Paul given instructions to Timothy here that's applicable to all of us. Isn't that right?
Amen.
The Bible is written to us. In fact, the Bible is God speaking to you. The Bible is God speaking to me. I can hear Dad Hagin's voice ringing in my ear now. Remember?
Yeah.
He would have us say that.
Yeah.
God's Word, the Bible, is God speaking to me. The problem happens is when we think that the Bible is not God speaking to me, but the Bible is God speaking to me. And so even though he was writing this to Timothy, the Apostle Paul, it applies to us today. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, he said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." So let me point out something. I'm not against grace, because where I'm going this morning, it may seem like I am. You know what I mean? But I'm not against grace. I'm for grace. But we're not for this slippery, greasy grace. You know what I mean? That does not agree with the guidelines and instructions and doctrines of the Bible. Because in our day, there are many people that are running to and fro that are actually living in sin, disobeying God, and saying that it's all right when it's not all right. It's all wrong. And so we want to live according to God's Word. And that's an ugly word today to tell somebody to do something. I don't know if you know that or not. I had one of my good close friends for years. Of course, he hadn't been around in a while. A good preacher friend of mine that we was friends for years and went on hunting trips together, camped out together and all that stuff years ago, you know. And but anyway, he run across this doctrine of the new grace doctrine. Now, it's not new in the Bible. It's the doctrine that man made up and then twisted the Bible to try to fit their idea. But he challenged me one day, not mad or anything like that, but just challenged me and told me directly. And of course, I listened, because I always listen, because, you know, constructive criticism won't hurt you. But I don't want anybody to give me destructive criticism to try to take me out, because some people do it that way. And Brother Hagin said constructive criticism is okay. He taught us that way. But this preacher told me, a good friend of mine, anointed of God, an excellent teacher of the Bible. I mean, I couldn't even hold a candle for him to see by as far as a teaching gift that's on his life, you understand? But he said this to me. He said, "Brother Randy," he said, "your preaching is all wrong." And I said, "Well," I said, what am I doing wrong? You know what I mean? All wrong. I mean, couldn't I get a smidgen of it right? I mean, a thimble full, you know? But when it's all wrong, boy, that's bad. You know what I mean? Just give me a little bit of something, you know? I said, "Well, how is that?" He said, "If you tell somebody what to do instead of tell them what to believe, then you're teaching and preaching the wrong gospel." I said, "Is that right?" I said, "We need to contact the Apostle Paul." Boy, he was flat in error, and we certainly don't want to listen to him. Because if you go to Galatians chapter 5 and read what he told them people to do, and if you go to Ephesians and see what he told, he said, "Put off this and put on that." And I said, undoubtedly, I said, "Me and Apostle Paul, we're going to miss it, brother. I mean, we might not even make it." And then, of course, when I started bringing the scriptures up, you know, and just quoting the scriptures by the Holy Ghost, just flowing up out of me in the scriptures we read too in the Corinthians, then it made him mad. I said, "It made him mad." And I wasn't mad. I wasn't even saying it mad. I was just floating up out of me. Well, this is what the Bible says. In other words, his statement disagreed with the Bible. And when your statement disagrees with the Bible, if you notice, a lot of these folks that's got this greasy grace, and I'm not knocking any of them, and this lovey-dovey stuff, the moment you say something in the Bible, they get mad at you and want to kill you. So I try to avoid them, amen? And I'm not against them. So we're not against grace, and I'm not against grace, because he told the Apostle Paul, and if we can follow anybody, we can follow him. He said, "Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." None of us could make it without the grace of God and the mercy of God. None of us could make it. I agree 100%. If it wasn't for God's mercy and God's grace, we'd all be a greasy spot on the carpet already. I'm telling you, it'd just be over for us. Because God's mercy and grace is extended to us day after day, hour after hour. He'll put up with our disobedience. He's long, I'm not Tarzan, but long suffering. He's long suffering. He's not like us. We want to kill him now. Yes, kill him. Get over, you know. But he's long suffering. And he'll put up even with our disobedience. I remember Dad Hagin talking about one time this man that was sick, and he went there, invited him to come and pray for. I don't know if it was cancer, it was a terminal disease, whatever it was. And Dad Hagen went to lay hands on his head. Y'all remember this story? Went to lay hands on this man's head in the bed to pray for him, to be healed. And when he laid his hands, he said he just couldn't say the word healing for some reason. And he felt like somebody's hand was on his, taking it off the man's head. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
This story?
Yeah.
And so he went for it again. You know what I mean? And tried to go that way again. And tried. He just wouldn't pray that, Lord, heal. It was like something literally lifted his hand off the man's head. And he just, in his spirit, set out to the Lord, you know. Lord, what is it? He said, don't pray for his healing because he's going to die. Well, if the Lord said, don't pray for his healing, he's going to die. He's going to die.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter how much you pray for his healing. He's going to die. It doesn't matter how much you confess it. He's going to die. This is the other side of the gospel.
Amen.
Oh, you were shouting Sunday morning. I'm telling you that. But this is the other side of the gospel that we need to hear. And so this is what the Lord said. He said, the reason he's going to die, he says, because I've been waiting on him for 30 years. You remember that? 30 years to get his life right. He said this because he confessed him as Lord 30 years ago. Confessed Jesus as Lord. Received him as his Savior 30 years earlier. He said, but he's never lived right over 2 weeks in his life in the whole 30 years. Now, Jesus said he never lived right.
Yeah.
So there must be some action to your confession.
Oh,
isn't that right?
Yeah,
Jesus
good.
Told him that. And he said, now he's got his affairs in order. And he said, now he's ready to go. That's how much the grace of God is there.
That's right.
He said, but you tell him that you're going to lay hands on him and his last days are going to be better than the first. This man was not filled with the Holy Ghost, had never spoken other tongues. Brother Hagin laid hands on him and he began to speak in other tongues. He spoke in other tongues and sang in the Spirit for 3 days and three nights. And had a glorious home going. Now that's the mercy and grace of God.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. Amen. And it's how God waited on that man because he didn't want him to go to hell. So I'm not saying that God is trying to send any of us to hell. He wants to take us to heaven. So we believe in grace. I remember I was over in North Carolina one time, and I can't say who I was with. Your pastors would know. But I was with these people that were real close to Brother Hagin, and they had invited me to go to Senator Bayhackle's house. I call it a mansion. It was a 100-acre estate. And had security guards and all this because being a senator, you know, for North Carolina, you know, you have to have protection because of all the, I can't say that, but anyway, all the conniving you get in, you know what I mean? Sometimes there's things goes on behind the scene. So, I mean, you couldn't even get in the gate. They got big gates and security. I mean, they have to let you in. They got police officers around the house and stationed at different points and cameras everywhere. But they wanted me to go and invited me to go to pray for Senator Bayhackle at the request of the family members. And so I said, well, yes, I said, I'll go. I'm not knowing what I was going to do or say. But I believe in healing just like you do. I believe in healing just like they did, you know. And so we get inside there, and of course they have I call it a mansion in front of the house. You know what I mean? They got a mansion. And then they got a house behind it that I would call a little mansion. And then they got a pool out there that looks like the Atlantic Ocean almost. You know what I mean? And they call it the pool house, but me and you would call it a mini mansion. I'm telling you. So they had a mansion in front of the mini mansion, and they call it a pool house. I mean, it was ornate, everything. And then he actually had a doctor that was there, a private doctor that they paid to stay with. Not a nurse, not hospice, a doctor that they paid 24 hours, 7 days a week for doctors to sit by his side. And they was administering to him all kinds of lotions and potions, medicines that nobody could ever get because he was on the inside and he knew how to pull this string, pull that lever, trying to keep him alive. So we walk in there, you know, and he's basically unconscious, you know, and he could communicate just a little, and they was trying to communicate with him, and his daughter was there and his wife was there and his son wasn't there right then. I got to meet him later. But I remember they said, well, let's lay hands on him now and pray for him. Everybody pray. So we started praying in the spirit, you know, and seeking God. And so I reached my hand over, you know, what I thought was an opportune time to lay hands on Senator Bayhackle. And when I laid my hand on top of his head, I had a similar experience to what Dad Hagin had. And the experience was I felt like a presence. I didn't sense nothing touching me, but I felt a presence. And I heard these words, don't pray for his healing. He is going to die. And I said, Lord, what? These people are, they want me to strike the magic wand. My God, I mean, you know what I mean? They want me to take him off the bed and throw him against the wall like Smith Wigglesworth and command him to live. But if we'll be more quick to be led by the Spirit instead of led by our head, we'll get more results. Sometimes you just pray different ways. So I knew I couldn't pray for healing, but they were going for it. I mean, the claiming and the naming and everything was going on, and I'm not belittling them, and I'm just feeling, I need to claim something. So I said, Lord, I claim he has good days. He has good days, you know. Good days, you know, get him. And then I remember at the end of our prayer, this individual that was there with me that knows God, knows the Holy Ghost, not belittling anybody, and there was preachers, begin to prophesy, you know. Yea, saith the Lord, that shall arise and live and walk and do the job that I have called thee to. And I just said under my breath, no, he ain't gonna die. And I knew it because he's trying to strike the magic wand over these people because of their wealth. They're some of the wealthiest people in there. They own TV stations and radio stations all over the world. So they're very wealthy people. So if you could strike the wand in the right place, you might get a whole heap of money. But you can't do it that way. Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin. He said, don't make your ministry chargeable to any man. I have always followed that. I've been criticized for it. And I've had to believe God, and I've been in some tough places, but I don't complain. The Lord said, don't make your ministry chargeable to any man. He told Brother Hagin, Jesus appeared to him in September 2nd, 1950, gave him a special anointing. After instructing him several things, Jesus turned to walk away, and he stopped and turned to walk back to him. He said, be careful about money. He said, many of my servants who I have anointed, and places anointing upon, have become money-minded and lost the anointing. So I'm not going to become money-minded. I'm telling you that. I'm going to let God be God and let him work it out. Now, I said that to say this. There was reasons that I know that I can't tell you why the man wouldn't receive healing. I knew that. I got revelation of that. But I never shared it with anyone, even till this day. But I knew why he was going to die. I knew why he was going to move to the other side. But what I'm saying is this. I had an experience like Brother Hagin. There's some people, you know, that's, you know what I mean? You can scotch. You know what scotch is. You can scotch for some people and help them out and push them out of the ditch. But there's others that just stuck to the point you can't get them out there, you know. But anyway, how'd y'all get me over there?
Good.
You know what I mean? Talking about the grace of God, you know what I mean? Now, God did bless the family, and a lot of things that happened in there is that there were some things that come out during this time while I was there by the Holy Ghost, because I stayed there praying there in that home for quite some time. In fact, we prayed all night long. And during that time, God told me what to do. And he told me, now I've never had this before or since, But the Holy Ghost spoke to me about 3 o'clock in the morning. We was all praying. And the Spirit of God said, prophesy unto the lady of the house. Well, I knew by what he meant by that. He was talking about the Senator Bayhackle's wife, Mrs. Bayhackle. She would be the senior lady of the house, the patriarch mother of the family. He said, prophesy to her and tell her to invest that money in oil, because oil is about to skyrocket. At that time, it was an all-time low. Well, I don't invest. I don't own no oil wells. I don't even own no oil, but I'll take some if you got it. You know what I mean? But they took a hold to that word. And again, I never had it happen before, never had it happen since. But they took hold of that word, and God gave them better days, because they was in a financial strait, and it turned things around, because they invested and oil skyrocketed, just like the Lord said it would do. The Lord knows everything. I'm telling you, that's the grace and mercy of God. And they was able to get everything in order, get their affairs in order, settle the companies out, all these things where there had been some wrong decisions made financially. All of that was set in order, so when he passed away, it didn't put a burden on the family. Woo, thank God. So he did get better days. He did get better days. That's the mercy and grace of God. Isn't that right? Thank God for it. So how did we get into that? Here it is. In this one scripture, we got that. This opening the Bible does this stuff. He said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Notice this. Apostle Paul told Timothy, the things that you've heard of me among many witnesses, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. In other words, what he was telling Timothy, don't try to come up with a new doctrine. What I have laid the foundation for is what I want you to teach. I want you to preach. I don't want you to be looking out yonder for something new to tickle people's ears with and trying to draw a crowd with. He said, Timothy, I want you to commit to people exactly what I've already given to you. What I've taught you, ladies and gentlemen, I think one of the biggest problems we have in the body of Christ today as a whole is that we have forgotten our elders in the Lord. I'm talking about many have forgotten our elders and following those that had a good track record and those that taught us the truth and those that stayed with the doctrines of God's Word. And not get out on some wild tangent. You know, one thing that we all picked up from Dad Hagin was balance. You know what I mean? He wouldn't get in the ditch on this side. He wouldn't get in the ditch on that side of any Bible subject. He just stayed right in the middle of the road. Because if you don't watch it, you can over-focus on different scriptural doctrines to the point that you run them in the ditch. You got to balance them out. For instance, grace. It's the truth. But if you just stay and focus on grace, 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 but you don't throw the other side in, judgment, 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 because there is a judgment. And we're all going to be judged. And we're all going to come stand before the Lord Jesus Christ as Christians. So there's things we need to get our house in order. Isn't that right? So thank God. We're not coming up with anything new. We're going to listen to what the Word of God says, because that's what the Apostle Paul had told Timothy. Verse 3 says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, you could look at that, you know, probably several different ways and get a lot of different meanings. But one way I'll look at this morning is, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And one thing that I think about it is, sometimes it's hard to stay on the right truth as a minister of the gospel and as a Christian when you see the majority of your close friends and people you have known for years going in another direction and seem like they're prospering, seem like they're blossoming, seem like they're growing, seem like they're gang busting out across the land, but you realize that this doesn't agree with the Bible. It's kind of hard on your flesh to not to want to go that way. You know what I mean? I mean, you have this idea, well, let's go that way. You know, I don't want anybody to dislike me. I don't want to disagree agree with people. You know, I want to be compatible with everybody that I can. You know, I don't want to be a hard case. But I discovered, Paul told Timothy, endure hardness. If it's tough to do what's right, just get tough and do what's right. If it's hard to do what's right, just let it be hard, but do what's right. Amen. I'm telling you, that's what the Apostle Paul did, and that's what you're going to do. Don't make me come back there, and I'm going to do it too. I'm going to stay with the truth. That's what brought me, and that's what's going to keep me. You know, I've heard messages preached, you know, in organizations, it's, you know, trying to get you to stay around, you know, and everything. Don't leave because some people are leaving different organizations, you know. One of the key messages is dance with the one that brung you. Remember, dance with the one that brung you. You know, we're just, if you got in on this, you know, you stay with this. Well, I'm telling you, what brung me was the Holy Ghost. And that's who I'm going to dance with if I'm going to dance with anybody. I'm not dancing with anything else, so to speak. You know what I'm talking about spiritually? So he's the one that brung me. Dance with it. I'm not against the message. Don't get me wrong. But that's the one that brought me. And if you'll go back to your scallywag life, like me, the Holy Ghost brought you to. And he's the only one that's going to keep you. He's the only one that's going to be with you. He's the only one that's going to watch over you. So even though there's a lot of things out there, I'm just going to stay where I'm supposed to be, and I'm going to follow the Holy Ghost. Amen? God is a supernatural God in this time and in this day. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at some more scriptures along this line. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse number 11. What do we do, and what has God said in the church to counteract the false doctrines that has arisen over the years? And it's not just grace, because there's a lot of, there's several other major issues out there. Some of them may not matter at all, you know, a little, but some of them are major issues that will affect the body of Christ. But what has God said in the church to counteract these things? In verse number 11 of Ephesians 4, he said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Isn't that what it says? For the edifying or building up of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now that seems absolutely impossible. To be in unity in the faith. There's so much disassembling in the body of Christ today. There's so many people that's not unified because why? There's no established clear truth that you can prove with the Bible as a general rule that people gather. And I'm not saying it fits everybody because there are people that are gathered together. So what's the enemy going to do? He's going to do his best to suppress the fivefold ministry gifts. Because the fivefold ministry gifts is the only thing that can counteract and overcome this lying doctrines that is in the church. Because each one of those gifts is anointed and equipped to speak and teach certain things that would help the body of Christ stay on path. Isn't that right? It says, till we all come in the unity of faith, in verse 13, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. And he's talking about spiritual children. He's not just talking about, you know, babies that's born in chronological age and growing up. He's talking about spiritual children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, what do? We speak the truth in love. We don't get mad. We don't attack. We don't fight. We speak the truth in love. Now, if somebody gets mad because we speak the truth in love, there's nothing we can do about it. But you still, according to the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Ghost that had this recorded, we must speak the truth, which is God's word in love, that we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And thank God that we can. Turn to 2 Peter. Now let's read some more scriptures along these lines. 2 Peter. This would be good for you. Let's see what the Bible says. Now we've seen what the Apostle Paul and the Holy Ghost said there in Timothy, and we saw, and of course there's many other scriptures I'm sure you can think of, but we're just hitting highlights on some. But look at 2 Peter chapter 2, and let's see what the Apostle Peter said. The Apostle Peter, who we recognize to be the head of the church of Jerusalem, you know, and he was sent to the Jewish people. Paul's was sent to the Gentiles generally. That doesn't mean that they couldn't minister to other people groups, but that's where their anointings were the strongest. Find out who God is sending you to, and that's where your anointing will be the strongest. I am sent to the remnant in the body of Christ, and that's why I don't try to go in other places, because I'm not sent there, and I'll lose my anointing, and I'll get cold and dry, and I don't want to get dry. Oh, I don't like dry corn shucks. I don't know about you from Nebraska, but that corn shuck gets dry, just get it away from me. Amen? But look what the Apostle Peter said. We've seen what the Apostle Paul, and all of them is writing by the Holy Ghost. Chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Peter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who shall privately bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Do you see what he said? There are damnable heresies. There are heresies that will bring damnation in your life. It will cause you could actually get so far out yonder, you could actually get to the point that you deny Jesus Christ. Damnable heresies. And he said, even denying, and he's talking about Christians now, even denying the Lord that brought them and bring upon themselves, they bring it upon themselves, swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now, when it says pernicious ways, that means immoral and lascivious doings. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. I remember Reverend Rick Renner years ago, Dad Hagin pointed this out and actually recommended the book called Merchandising the Anointing. And that's what he's talking about. The anointing today, some people are taking it and merchandising the anointing, but it's not going to last long because God is not going to put up with it. God's been waiting on the church, ladies and gentlemen, since the late 1950s, about 1958, 59, to get back on the path that they should be on because he wanted to turn the power up. He had to turn the power down in the late 50s because of the glory he poured out, because so many people got into error, so many people began to walk in the flesh, so many people began to do their own thing and not be obedient to God, and most of the ministers that had the power of God on their life in that day died prematurely. In fact, it's already public knowledge, Jack Coe died at 38 years old. And Brother Hagin said he'd never witnessed no more amazing miracles in all of his ministry and life, even in Canada, I heard him say this, right before he went to heaven, than he did in Jack Coe's ministry. He was anointed of God, and God used him tremendously. But he got into pride, he got the big head, and I'm not knocking Mr. Coe, don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking him. And he's in heaven, I believe he's in heaven right now, you know what I mean? And everything like that. But when he got into that disobedience, it opened the door to the devil, and it took him out at 38 years old. You cannot merchandise the anointing. And one of the areas of his life that he got into error in as he began to merchandise the anointing. Brother Hagin said he was there one time. And I think it was, 17 deaf children that came from a deaf and dumb home or something, I believe it was. And he laid hands on them, and every single one of them instantly were healed. And he said as soon as that happened, the crowd went wild, and there was multiple thousands, I don't know, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30,000 people there in this tent thing. And Brother Hagin happened to visit, you know. He said as soon as that happened, Jack Coe stopped, and he took up an offering. And he said, now, come down and give to the work of God. He said, but don't come down here unless you're going to give at least $50 in offering. Now, $50 back yonder in those days in the 50s would probably be closer on up to $400 or $500 today. I don't know. Some of your mathematicians figure it out. And he said, Brother Hagin witnessed the people running over themselves, almost stampeding to get down to the front because they had witnessed such a great miracle and they was caught up in the emotion of the moment. You know what I mean? And you don't belittle the people. They just wanted the work of God. By God, they wanted everybody to have this. So it wasn't wrong for the people to give into it and support it. That was good. But the way he done it was wrong. Isn't that right? And so again, I don't say it to attack him or condemn him, but I want to learn from it. You know what I mean? I want that power, but because things like that were going on, it was so power was everywhere. Brother Hagin said miracles would happen. He said people that didn't even have a miracle ministry would just crack open their Bible and say a few words about Jesus and a few words about healing, and miracles would happen. Deaf ears would pop open, blind eyes would open, and people would see. The lame would walk. Y'all remember that?
Glory to God.
He said people didn't even have a miracle ministry. He said the power was such everywhere. But man turned it off. Why? Because God realized if I let this continue, the whole church would be dead. The whole church would be dead. The devil would kill them all. So since the late 50s, 58, 59, I think that wave lasted about 9 years, right in there somewhere. But it was turned up. Y'all remember that? My elders are sitting here. They know what I'm talking about. I mean, that happened, and since that time, the Lord has been wanting to turn the power up to the point that you have to say, Lord, turn it down. Turn it down. And I know you've been there like I have. I have actually been there where I asked the Lord, turn it down. Lord, I can't, turn it down. I thought I was going to disintegrate under God's glory. I'm telling you, now it felt good. And the anointing was strong. But I'm telling you, I had to ask him, Lord, this mortal's got to take on immortality before I can stand any more of that. But I'm telling you, we're headed into that today. And that's why we got all this false mess arising, you know, trying to hinder the plan of God. But you can rejoice because the devil is not going to stop God's plan. And we're moving into it. We're in the edges of it now. Thank God for it. But we're going to wade on out into the water. Thank God. But we got to keep our motives right. Got to keep our heart right. Jesus told Dad Hagin one time this. He said, I'll judge my people, his people, the church, quicker on spiritual motives than physical sins. That may not be exact words, but that's what he was talking about. In other words, motives are very important as to why you do something. You know what I mean?
Yes, it is.
And how you minister. Physical sins, the Lord realizes that we live in this flesh that's problems, and that doesn't make excuses for me. I say, well, wait a minute, Lord, you can't judge me in that. I'm in the flesh. You told Brother Hagin, now I might want to remind him every now and then. You told Brother Hagin you'd judge us quicker for spiritual motives, you know, than you would physical sins. Oh, Lord. Now, Lord, remember what you said? So the Lord does want us to walk in His will. He wants us to walk in His plan, and He wants to walk in His way. And He's turning the power up. Now, this is what I heard in the Spirit. Now, this is several years ago. Now, several years might have been 5 or 7 years. Might have been 10 years. You know what I mean? But I heard this. The Lord said to me, during a time of just seeking Him, it might have been under an anointing like this morning or something. I don't know, things that come when I get under the anointing. You know, that's it. But it came, and this is what he said. He said, tell my people to get ready. He said, because I'm going to turn the power up, whether they're ready or not. Ready or not, here I come. Remember we played hide and seek? And we count down, and you say, ready or not, here I come. Ready or not. Why is that? Because God is dealing with man in this era on a time clock. And there's a certain amount of time that things must transpire. But not God lives in eternity where there is no time. But when he deals with us in the human race, he deals with us in increments of time. You can read the prophets of old and prophesied about this is going to happen for so many days, 1,000 so many days and so many months and, you know, of so many years that this would happen. He said the children of Israel were going into captivity for 430 years, you know. So he dealt with men in time. And so he's dealing today in time. And so he's got to bring his word to pass in a specific amount of time, whether we're ready for it or not. But he's long-suffering. He's been holding it back because he wants us to be ready. He wants our hearts to be right. He wants our motives to be pure. And he wants us to be headed in the right direction. Amen? How did y'all get me on that? But anyway, it's in somewhere. He said, and through covetousness, verse 3, this is the Apostle Peter, through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. That's how we got into that. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. In other words, if you don't think God's going to do something about it, just go back and look at Sodom and Gomorrah. Go back and look at Noah's day. Go back and look at these things that happened. Yes, God's going to do something about evil. Verse 7, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation or lifestyle of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Notice it says unlawful deeds. There are things that are unlawful for you as a Christian to do. In the realm of the Spirit. God's kingdom has laws that He expects us to follow. Says the Lord knoweth how to deliver the ungodly out of temptations. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And to reserve the unjust until the judgment, until the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practice, cursed children. Which have forsaken the right way. Notice, which have forsaken the right way. That means they were on the right way, but they have forsaken it and are gone astray. You can't go astray if he was not on the stray. You know what I mean? You couldn't go astray if you wasn't on the stray. Seems good. Following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozor, or you could say Bozo, but a Bozor. Forgive me, don't want to make him mad at me. He might get me. He said, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. When they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh. Through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. Well, they promised them liberty, the people they're speaking to. They themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now I stop here because this is the second chapter, but I preached Peter's sermon for him. I just re-preached that sermon. So when you hear somebody else saying something different, just preach Peter's sermon. This is the Apostle Peter preaching a sermon. This is his sermon right there. That's what he's saying. So if you need a sermon, here's one. Preach this one. This is what he said. He devoted a whole doggone chapter to it. You know, I preach Brother Hagin's sermons. Now I'm preaching Peter's sermons. Hallelujah. That's why I read it all. It'll do you good just to read the Bible. When you hear all this goofy stuff out there, go back and see what the apostles said. Go back and see what the prophets said. Go back and see what your pastors have said and taught you. Stay with it in the name of Jesus and don't change. Now, some things that are happening today in the body of Christ that I want to point out to you is that teachings that are contradicting God's word that are out there. Now, if I chose to, and of course I might call on one of the pastors here to do it, maybe Pastor Jerry, to just stand up and speak the people's names that are doing it, but I spare you. You know what I mean? And I won't speak the people's name, but you know, the Apostle Paul actually called people's names in his writings. And he warned people about them. And I think, you know, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost that if God led me to, I would say it not to attack, but to protect. I would not say it to attack a person, but to protect the flock. That's the only reason Paul said it, not to attack, but to protect. When you're protecting your flock, there's nothing wrong, I believe, with saying it. You just have to say it with the right motive, with the right attitude. We speak the truth in love. But, you know, there's more people out there ministering this. In fact, let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 that I've got written down that are preaching right here. And I'm not going to give it to you, of course. This is for my benefit. This is to protect me. This is what's being taught. And this is by key people, and some of them are, in fact, several of them are international ministers. But these are things that are going on today. And again, I don't say to attack anybody anywhere. I say it to protect the flock. You understand? That's what I'm doing. Because Paul spoke the truth in love. Peter, the Apostle Peter, spoke the truth in love. But number one, this is one of the false things that's been taught among many that I'm going to give you here. I'll just give you a handful of them here. Well, maybe more than a handful. I may give you two handfuls. And this is one of the false things. The teachings of Jesus Christ before the cross either do not apply to the believer today or of lesser importance than the New Testament epistles. Remember? What's being taught today is the teachings of Jesus before the cross, that's before He died, shed His blood, either do not apply to the believer today are of lesser importance than the New Testament epistles. In other words, what they're saying in this teaching is that the Apostle Paul and Peter and James is more important than Jesus, and that's not true. The principles that Jesus taught in the four Gospels is still just as true for any of God's people, regardless if you're Jews or Gentiles or whatever you are, the teachings of Jesus still reign supreme in the principles, and I do realize that there were times He was talking things specifically to the Jews, as we all know, in the four Gospels. You understand? We understand that. But what they're trying to do is to deny the importance of what Jesus said because Jesus was rough, and it contradicts the doctrines they're preaching. Jesus contradicts the doctrines they're preaching. I said Jesus Christ contradicts the doctrines you're preaching. So they can't say that you got to believe in him. Because he told them in St. John, you're of your father, the devil. And this was God's chosen people. You're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. That's what he preached. But they don't want you to read that part. But it's in there. So that's number one thing. And this is not all-inclusive list, you understand. But number two is, the Ten Commandments in no way apply to the believer today. Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I come to fulfill it. So if you're in Christ, you're going to fulfill it. No, we don't have to go back and do the rituals. I'm not talking about the rituals and the ceremonies. But the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, still applies today. Thou shalt not commit adultery is still good today. And, you know, not taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain is still right today, even though Christians do it every day. Flat cuss. I mean, major words that I can't even let come to my ears. I don't even want my mind to think of them. Put God's name in it. God this and God that. Forgive me for saying that. But you know what I mean? It's still true. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Now, we know that the Sabbath, that means we have a time that we worship God, you know, and the Sabbath day, you know, they had a strict guideline, but we all should have a day, in fact, every day, that we should worship God. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? So the Ten Commandments are still applicable in principle to us today. In principles. The principles that was taught in the Ten Commandments, Jesus said, I did not come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill it. We couldn't keep the law in the Old Testament. The Jewish people couldn't. But when we got born again, the law of God was written in my heart. And immediately I knew what was right and wrong. I mean, I quit cussing like a sailor, as they would say. I quit cheating, lying, stealing. And nobody mad to me. Tell me. I turned myself into a doggone police officer facing life without parole. That's how out of my mind I was. On a roadside in Galveston, Texas. I said, please arrest me. I just got saved and I want to die and go to hell. I'm out of my mind. But the law of God was written in my heart, and what I was doing was wrong. Prior to being born again, and when I got born again, I wanted to keep the law. Don't get me excited. The Ten Commandments, the principles of the Ten Commandments still apply today. Jesus didn't break them or violate them. It's not right for you to go out and kill somebody and commit adultery, steal and lie and cheat. But see, if you can erase those commandments, then society is going to go further down the drain. And that's why they're trying to take them out of the courthouse and try to take them out here and take them out of there and take them out of the church. Three, this is another one. All believers are pleasing to the Lord no matter how they live. That's wrong. The Lord loves you, but he's not pleased with disobedience. If you don't believe it, go wake up Dad Hagen and ask him. Because Dad Hagen, Jesus appeared to him and said, if I had not allowed this to happen to correct you and get you on the right path and get your attention, you would have not lived past the age of 55 years old. The Lord was not pleased with the direction he was going. But he made the correction. If he'd have died before he reached 55 or by 55, there would have been no Rhema Bible Training Center because it didn't start till he's 57 years old. And so that ought to encourage you. You're never too old to do what God told you to do. Never. Never. No matter how old you are. Never too old. Number four, believers do not have to repent of their sin because it is already forgiven and because God does not want us to be sin conscious. Ladies and gentlemen, God doesn't want us to be sin conscious. But if you have sinned, your spirit knows immediately because the law of God's written in your heart, and you need to confess it and ask God to forgive you. And yes, let that stuff lift from you and put it behind you and go on. But yes, you should have a consciousness of sin if you're living in sin. You should say and should know that I'm doing wrong. I'm not doing right. And the Spirit of God in your spirit, your human spirit, is going to know it if you're born again. Isn't that right? So when you do something that's wrong, you ask God to forgive you, and He will. Number five, another statement that is made that goes right along with this one. God has already forgiven all our future sins. Now, let's say it this way. Yes, every human being that will ever be born, legally, their sins are forgiven. But experientially, they are not. I said every person's sin that's born today and into the future, their sins are forgiven. Legally. But experientially, they're not. You can only experience forgiveness of your sin when you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord with your mouth and believe in your heart that God is raised Him from the dead. Otherwise, if you didn't have to do that, everybody's already saved. Why didn't we have a church? You know what I mean? It don't even make common sense. You know what I mean? It don't even make common sense. And that's what they're talking about here. Yes, legally, every future sin has been forgiven since the times of Jesus. You know what I mean? But you still have to take advantage of it. The sixth one that I'd like to point out to you is that repentance is simply just a change of mind, realizing that we're righteous through Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, repentance is not just a change of mind. If you are a sinner, what you need to do is not change your mind. You need to get born again. And that changes from the inside, then your mind changes. My heart changed on the road to Galveston, Texas, as an armed robber fixing to commit an armed robbery. My heart changed and it affected my head. But until you have a change in your spirit, your human spirit, and get born again, it don't matter how much you put in your head. You got to get right with God by being born again. Thank you for your enthusiasm. So it's more than just a change of mind. It's being born again. Isn't that right? But that's what's being portrayed in a lot of churches that seem to be exploding. A lot of people in these churches, and I say it sadly, are not even born again. It's humanism. What did you tell me it was, Pastor? You had this with their teaching and preaching? Humanism or something like that? He's smarter than he looks. I can just tell you right now. Intellectualism. That's it. I told you he's smarter than what he... Yeah. Intellectualism. People are being taught... Yeah, intellectual. It's a mental assent to things. And it's not the new birth. It's not being born again. And so there's a lot of people that go to churches that are being taught intellectualism, humanism, secular ideas, even though they're geared around the Bible, but they never get born again. How do we get up with all that? Here we go. Here's another one. The Holy Spirit never convicts believers of sin. And when He convicts unbelievers of sin, it is only the sin of unbelief. Now, let's say it this way. We know, and this is what Brother Hagin taught us, and we believe it to be true. The Holy Spirit, when He's in our spirit, when we're born again, our own spirit convinces us and convicts us of sin. You know what I'm talking about? So it is, I'm tying here is that the Holy Spirit in you lets your spirit know, because the law of God's written in there, and your human spirit knows when you do wrong. Isn't that right? That's what He does. But they're saying that there's no conviction of sin today. There's no such thing. Yeah, you should be convicted if you sin. Has anybody ever been convicted of sin? If you hadn't, we need to show enough pray for you. I don't think prayer is going to help you. We need to baptize you in oil. I'm telling you the truth about it. Because if you keep your heart tender before God, I mean, I can know when I'm missing. I'm not just talking about blatant uncontrolled sin. I can just tell, like, Lord, forgive me. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm not talking about just blatant. You know what I mean? It's just when you keep your heart tender, it's your human spirit where the Holy Spirit dwells. He's communicated that. And you know the law of God's written in your heart. Isn't that right? And we thank God for that. And another one is that grace is the free love of God that has eradicated sin out of our flesh. That's another false truth. Grace is the free love of God that has eradicated sin out of our flesh. How many of us don't have to deal with temptations to sin? You scoundrel, you. I figured it was. And me, you know what I mean? Yes, this physical body, it hadn't been totally freed. We've been born again, our spirit set free. But if you don't watch it, your flesh will try to throw you. If you don't walk with God, your flesh will try to throw you. And you'll find yourself, even though you've been born again, you'll find yourself, your flesh that is, having tendencies to try to return back to where you come from. And you're going to have to say, whoa, come back here. Come back here. Paul called it crucifying the flesh with its affections and lust. Another one that I believe is false today. The God of the Old Testament is not the same God as the God of the New Testament. That's been proclaimed and taught in the pulpits in the United States of America. The God of the Old Testament is not the God of the New Testament. But ladies and gentlemen, He is one and the same. He said, I change not. Now, He deals with people on a different level today because of the grace of God. And if it were not for the grace of God, I could probably say this, and I don't want to put nothing on you. You'd already be dead. Because by law, we should have stoned you to death. But you should have stoned me before I stoned you. You know what I mean? So we're all in the same boat. So the grace of God, it deals with us on a different level, but the same principles that God taught in the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. Isn't that right? Principles. And again, we don't keep the ceremonial law to be born again. We serve God and His Word because we love Him in the name of Jesus. And there's another one I'll just throw in here. I'll just give you two more because some of these things, you know, get kind of complicated explaining. You know, I can get lost myself. You are legalistic if you ever tell a believer that he or she ought or ought not to do something. Remember I was talking about that earlier? You are legalistic. If I say, quit sleeping around, that's being legalistic. Quit committing sin. Don't go down there and rob that bank. That's being legalistic. That's what's being said and taught. And that's why we have the problems we have. Society has a problem because the church has a problem. And the last one here, and I'll spare you. Oh, and this is a good one. God will save everyone. No one will go to hell. It's called the doctrine of inclusion. The doctrine of inclusion. In fact, someone that we respect and my elders here know of and probably knew him better than I did in the Pentecostal ranks and what you'd say, word of faith, I guess, you know, type, I don't know, they would know more. But anyway, short of type and major ministry, come up with something called the doctrine of inclusion. It don't matter who you worship, cat, dog, cow, tree, sun, moon, stars, Allah, whatever, we're all going to heaven. Every path, every spiritual path leads us to heaven. That is false doctrine. And ladies and gentlemen, that is not true and it's not correct. Isn't that right? So what we want to do is, again, we want to stay on the right path. And again, you can probably think of many other things, you know, about this. And again, I don't say it to attack anybody. I say these things to protect the flock. That's the purpose, and speaking the truth in love. I'm not going to fight with anybody. I'm not going to argue with anybody. In fact, I've had people, many people, and very well-known people, that actually on Facebook, you know, I'll post something every now and then, that's actually wanted to get into a fuss fight with me over something I say or something I do. And finally, you know, I told the brother, he's very well-known, I told the brother, I said, you and I just don't see eye to eye on these issues. I said, you're coming from the Word from a legalistic standpoint. Now, it almost took him out right there. I said, but I'm coming at the Word from a spiritual standpoint. I'm interpreting the Word in the light of the Holy Ghost here, not to put a feather in my cap. And I said, as long as you interpret the Word the way you do, and I interpret the way I do, then we're not going to see eye to eye. And I said, it's best that we just part ways. And I said, if you want to say anything about me negative, say it on your own page. Don't say it on mine, because I'm not going to permit it no more. And I hit the block button. And then we inbox each other, because once I in, you know, you block them, you can't send them anything. But inbox, and he said, well, brother, I didn't know you'd do that. And I said, well, I told you I was going to do it. I said, this is not the forum right here for you and I as ministers to fight. You know what I mean? What I mean, disagree. And I said, what Brother Hagin taught me, he said that he never saw two ministers that got in a fight. You know, I'm talking about a fuss fight or whatever, that it didn't always end in premature death. I said, so I'm not going to get involved in this, and I'm not going to get involved. I said, you and I just don't see the eye to eye. And I love the brother today, but I'm not going to get involved in that. You know what I mean? Why? Because that's not what I'm called to do, you know, whatsoever. Ladies and gentlemen, don't be discouraged. You can be encouraged. You may be looking sad, and your eyes may be rolling around in your head and saying, oh, God, what have I heard today? You can be encouraged. If you're in any of these churches, it's represented right here today with these pastors and ministers, that you're going to hear the truth of God's Word, and that you're going to have the anointing of God be imparted to you, and you're going to see the anointing of God increase in your life. Don't be led astray by all of that that's going on out there. It don't matter how big the crowd is and anything else. You stay with the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, and I'm going to do the same. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the anointing.
I know you were blessed by this message. If you would like to receive more information about Randall Greer Ministries, or if you'd like to receive our free newsletter, just let us know. We'd be happy to send it to you. Just write us at Randall Greer Ministries, P.O. Box 2227, Owosso, Oklahoma 74055. Or you can contact us at our website, www.rgm.me. And remember, God is always with us.